I'm Jeff Mason. I'm a musician, mainly just interested in playing music, riding motorcycles. That's about it, really. But when I think COVID came along, that's when I started sort of questioning the narrative and thinking there's something not right. And the way it started rolling out, and there was a lot of info that was coming out from China, and I just thought this is rolling on too fast here, and I just questioned the whole thing. You know, it just didn't seem right to me. You know, especially the lockdowns. And why would you want to lock down an economy? You know.
Well, I think the idea is, of course, that you'll stop the disease spreading. So you're going to have to put the economy on the back burner for a while.
Yeah, it's true, very true. But there was other aspects with the to eat out, and as it went on and further on, and you could wear your mask, you can go in a pub, but you can then take your mask off to eat. That's when it started. You know, sort of. You know, I started questioning it. Things weren't adding up.
Okay, so when you started questioning, what answers did you come up with?
I got involved in certain groups on social media, and we started putting our heads together and just sharing information, and just thought there's something not right, you know, with the whole thing. So,
In 2022 here in Bristol, we had a new clean air zone introduced at the end of the year. Which was a bizarre thing because it wasn't like most of these things, like the London congestion charge or clean air zone there, the ULEZ, which has got an obvious way around it. Here, the zone itself was like the ring road round the city centre. So in order to avoid the zone, you have to kind of go around little rat runs, little roads around the edges of the main road. So there was no obvious way round. What have you made of the implementation of that, and how has it affected you and the work you do?
Well, as a musician, it's impacted me as well as other small businesses, I would imagine, quite a great deal. I've got a non-compliant van, so obviously I'd have to pay the CAZ charge every time we're entering into the city of Bristol. A lot of our work was coming in within the city, and so it fell in within the zone. The thing is, most musicians won't leave the venue till gone midnight, and then you're into another charging area. So that's £18. And, you know, when you take into consideration the high fuel charges, and we have to buy equipment and the rest of it, it doesn't really, you're virtually just about breaking even, and sometimes you're at a loss.
What about other musicians that you're working with and speaking to?
Yeah, they're the same. There's three musicians that I work with at the moment that they've got non-compliant vehicles. So it's going to make life difficult, really. I've talked to other solo musicians, and they said they're just going to give up playing in the city of Bristol.
This is, it's only £9, but you're saying you reckon it's double that?
Well, it's going to be, because most musicians won't leave the venue till gone midnight, and it's then gone into another charging zone.
So have you actually had to cancel gigs so far, or are you still been managed?
No, we haven't cancelled any, but we've just won't accept any, not in the city at the moment, no.
And are you the only musicians that you know that are doing this, or are others?
No, there are others, yeah. There's others within on some of the musicians' groups I've talked about. And there's also other small businesses, you know, sole traders that have had to... Well, they haven't given up, but they've had to pass on the charge onto the customer.
And so have you been involved in any way with the wider movement? Because these clean air zones, we did some research, Michael Bond and I, and it's a website called synapsemedia.co.uk. You can find it. I think you have to put the three W's in front of it to see it. But it did look as if it was very finely balanced, that literally there was only one or at the most two of the areas at any time of the day that were over the levels of nitrogen dioxide the government had specified. So they didn't really... Well, they didn't really need to introduce it. There's some people saying this is just for making money. So what's your idea of the bigger picture?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a money-making scheme. It's basically a taxation on the poor. Because, you know, if most people that's obviously going to be trapped in within the either the CAZ or in London, the ULEZ, they're going to be driving non-compliant vehicles. and they simply can't afford to upgrade their car or van or whatever. So,
well, that's one of the things they'll say is, well, it's time to get a new car.
Well, with today's cost of living, how are you going to manage that? I mean, there's higher energy prices, fuel prices, cost of food. It's just untenable.
Have you thought maybe just going to the music venues on your bike? Obviously, if you're a motorbike fan, you've got a motorbike. So
you try taking 250 kilo of amplifiers, guitars and leads and such.
In your sidecar?
No chance. I mean, I've had arguments on social media where they say, well, can't you put it on the bus? Well, I don't think so. You can't, you know, we've got a keyboard player that's got Hammond organ. How's he going to take that on a bus? Be impossible.
What do you make of it? Because it seems to have sort of started in London. Are you in touch with any of the London groups?
Yeah, I am. I've actually went out to Trafalgar Square April 2023, met quite a few of the chaps there, including Alan Miller from the Together Declaration. I spoke to Alan. He wanted to get me up on and talk on stage, and I said, you've got too many speakers, so I'll just sit back, you know. He had another chap called...
Maybe you could get your guitar out, was that what you...
Well, possibly. I didn't take a guitar, no. Yeah, that would have been a good idea. There was another chap there. He's got his own YouTube. He's a YouTuber. He's called Brown Car Guy, and he specialises... He used to do rallies and before all this came in, which is the ULES, which is for the outer boroughs. And he wasn't interested in it. You know, he said, well, okay. He put up with it as it got into the North Circular. But as soon as they pushed it out to the outer boroughs, that's when it started to impact on him. So he got himself personally involved. And he was one of the main speakers down there as well. I actually got interviewed by the chap. It was a good interview, yeah.
So, look, what about these people trying to take their cameras down? Because this is suddenly... you know, this has become a movement. In fact, people crowdfunding this and people giving anonymous donations for others to go out there and take down the cameras.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I had a feeling this might happen. You can only bend a stick so far before it snaps. So, I mean, it started off, they just started putting stickers over on the lenses and so on. Of course, they had a Teams from TFL coming out to take the stickers off. So they went a bit further And then a few have been taken down physically, you know, cut with angle grinders. I mean, I'm not condoning, you know, if it's going to impact other people, you know, with, if a camera falls across the road and, you know, and a motorcycle comes by, obviously. But, I can see what, you know, the point they're doing it is because, how far are you going to push this?
One of the things that's annoyed a lot of people is that the brand new Chelsea tractors, they don't pay at all.
No, that's another thing. It's total hypocrisy. You can get a large V8 and probably spewing out a lot more, fumes, if you like, emissions. But they're free to drive. They won't get penalised. It's all wrong, the whole thing. Now, I've just seen within the last week... That chap I just mentioned, who's got his own channel, Brown Car Guy, he took two recent samples from a Siemens air quality meter. And guess what? The ULEZ has been in 1 year now, and the readings have gone up. They haven't gone down. So Mayor Khan, for all his rhetoric saying that the air is much cleaner since he implemented it, is total lies.
Well, look, we've got this zero carbon agenda. We've got all sorts of other things going on in the background. What do you think is, take a zoom, if we're standing on the moon looking down on London, you know, what's really going on?
I think the word control comes in. I think this seems to be moving towards a Chinese credit style system, you know, where obviously if you've gone over your carbon credits, that's going to restrict your movement, air travel. And even in some cases, if your score is low, you could be, you know, excluded from most activities. And that's about it, really. I mean, I saw all this coming with that speech by Jeremy Hunt saying he thought it was a great idea of locking us all down as the same as in China. And he described how they locked his sister down and she was, her flat was sealed up. She couldn't come out at all. And if he thinks that's a great way to live, well, it's not my idea of freedom.
Well, I mean, for a lot of people, it might mean that they simply can't travel. You're just going to have to simply suck it up and just stop becoming a musician in Bristol anyway.
Well, that's it. I mean, that would be the death knell of live music, I'm afraid, because if we're all locked in, you know, into these areas, what they're planning, these 15-minute cities or 20-minute neighbourhoods, I mean, is that it? You know, is that going to be, we just play to the locals or something? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the thing is, you know, every man, woman is born with inalienable rights of freedom. You know, it's enshrined even in the United Nations article. It's, you know, everyone has got the right to freedom to travel. This goes against the grain, totally.
You know, what I sometimes think is all those war memorials in every village and town across Britain. Mm-hmm. There were, in the Second World War, I'm not sure about the first, but we had something like 400,000 people lost their lives in the Second World War for these sorts of freedom.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, my grandfather, he landed at Gold Beach, 1944, which is coming up now for the 80th anniversary, June the 6th. So although he came back unscathed, but he could have lost his life, like many, many thousands, you know. What did they do it all for? You know, you look back at that, was it for nothing? And so I think I owe it to my grandfather and certainly to my children that I've got to try and do all I can, you know, to stop this tyranny. And that's all it is. It's just basic tyranny. Our government have gone rogue, literally.
What about places to find online or elsewhere? Where's a good place to get information about what's going on?
Well, you can go and basically go on the government's website if you want and just look up, gov.uk, Agenda 2030. It's all there. They're not trying to hide it. Just type in even Agenda 21. It's out there.
So what is Agenda 2030?
Obviously, 2024, we've got roughly 6 years before it implements. And it just lists out the goals that they want to achieve. It's all done in this very wishy-washy, nice rhetoric, but we all know that at the end of it, it's about controlling us. They want to try and eradicate meat. That's one of them, dairy produce. And there's already talk about, you know, these Frankenstein meats, these factory-produced meat, which is just, you know, ridiculous. And I can see now where it ties in with the farmers' disputes that are going right across Europe and Canada and the US as well. Basically, they're going to try and take the land, so no one will be able to grow anything. It'll all be basically food supplied by the globalist agenda. Simple as that.
Okay, Jeff Mason, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tony. Pleasure.